Hey y'all, it's Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans Recap. Gracie York has just moved close to me in New Braunfels, Texas, and I couldn't be more excited about that. This sweet soul is a great hang, incredible musician, and also my friend. We had to talk outside because the RV was in the shop, so you will hear birds and critters, and we have to take a break for a train, but I just enjoyed talking about Gracie's journey as a solo artist and her new role as a singer in Cross Canadian Ragweed and The Departed. Come on! She also has a great episode on the podcast Twin Rivers Music Scene. Shout out to our best gals over there. Follow Gracie York, G-R-A-Y-C-I-E, on all the socials. Listen to her music. And thanks so much for this chat, girlfriend. I can't wait to see what's in store for your new chapter, including hanging out with me. Enjoy. Hey, y'all, it's Brie Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and 4 nights of outstanding musical performances across 5 venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3-day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes 2 free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon ONLYVANS, that's ONLYVANS, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3-day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
I'd be like, oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe that's what, we should start doing, is just hitting people.
Just hitting people.
Is that the solution? Have you ever
just violence?
Just the solution. You heard it here first, ONLYVANS. The solution is violence.
Hey, everybody, this is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Like, I don't get starstruck for musicians, but I would get starstruck for somebody like that.
There's only a handful of musicians that I think now I would probably just be like...
Yeah, like you which know. Ones?
Chris Stapleton, probably.
Yeah, Chris Stapleton, totally.
I would like drop to my knees. I'd be like, Chris, yeah. I love you.
Yeah, yeah. And Morgan. I love Brandi Clark. I'm a giant Brandi Clark fan.
Yeah.
I think I would do it for her. But Grace Potter is my favorite.
Oh.
She might be one.
Yeah, she's great.
She's so great. Who are you listening to right now? I need something. I've been really bad about listening to audiobooks and podcasts and not listening to any music.
I thought the train was coming, but I think it's just a really heavy helicopter.
There's planes, trains, and automobiles. There's a helicopter. We never know.
Who am I listening to? I'm stuck on that Joshua Sloan album. I can't stop listening to it.
Do you like it too, Kyle?
It's so good, top to bottom.
What?
And it's mainly just an acoustic album with a little bit of, you know, flair mixed in there. But it's so good.
Huh. Okay, I'm going to go listen to it.
I get to
this.
Go see him on...
What? Where?
Monday in Dallas. My friend had in Fort Worth. My friend had an extra ticket. And she's like, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's incredible that you get to see somebody that you're obsessed with currently.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what this feels like. I think this was... It's like to get old. Like... If I went and saw maybe the podcast that I'm obsessed with, they were doing like a live episode, that would be the same thing. But I need
you're
to get back
weeping
in
your seat. You're like, I love you guys.
Yeah. I love you guys so much. What are you listening to right now? I'm listening to Murder. Yeah, and True Crime.
Yes.
Do you listen to any of that? Do you listen?
Yeah, I used to a lot. Huh. But then I ended up, you know, living by myself. And now I can't do that anymore.
I was wondering about that.
I get a little spooked.
Yeah.
A little easily.
They had like an apartment episode one time. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm going to get Gracie. I shouldn't have told you that. I don't know what I'm doing right now. It's telling you that. But
there's I have all like, my security measures. Don't worry.
I bet you do. There's things. There's cameras and other locks. And mm-hmm. Are you telling people that you moved here? Or are you keeping
yeah.
that a secret?
No. I'm like, yeah, I moved by the river.
Yeah, baby.
Hell yeah.
Well, I'm glad you moved to New Braunfels. It's like, it's a really special place. And yeah. I wore my Twin Rivers hat for you because you're friends with the girls.
Of course.
They're just the coolest girls.
The best.
And so nice. Has Madison made you sourdough bread?
No. I am trying to do like a gluten-free thing, even though I don't really abide by my own rules most of the time.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to have to get on that, though.
What I'm calling it is keto-inspired, where I don't always nail it. But right. Okay. I'm trying my best. I feel like that's what my body responds to.
Yeah,
well.
I'm trying my best.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah. Because like, sometimes you just like have to have a little gluten, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the other day, we got a whole pizza after the river. We were just sitting and listening to music at the villa. It's like, I can't not have a piece.
I know. From Inferno's?
Yes.
I know. Their pizza is so good. Mm-hmm. The scorpion one is like really hot though. Like,
I can't do that.
Yeah. If you're old like me too, it's like acid reflux.
Oh, I already have that.
Days.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Really?
I've had it my whole life.
You've had acid reflux your whole life?
Whole life.
But isn't that mess with your vocal cords?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that for the longest time. And then eventually I was like, okay, why do I sound like this? Like, this is not normal, you know? And I went to my doctor and he was like, you should have been on a pill your whole life for your acid. And then he just like told me the rules and stuff, you know, no eating 3 hours before bed. And I'm like,
wait, what?
Huh? Yeah.
I know, I've just been snacking constantly. I can't. Help it.
I'm a snacker too, especially I like a little late night sweet treat.
I have to have a late night sweet treat. A sweet treat.
Sweet treat.
I said it the other day and Paul didn't know what that was. Like sweet he treat. Doesn't do social media, so I can't make any jokes with him about that.
I love a sweet treat.
I love a sweet treat. And I do the Ghirardelli square chocolates. Oh. Just one too.
I can only allow one.
Yeah.
Or else the whole bag is gone.
The whole bag is gone.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm proud of you living by yourself, too, because we were just talking about this off camera, but I just never could have a roommate. I mean, I should have, and I should have saved a lot more money because I've spent just like $1 million on rent.
Same. Yeah. Especially right now.
Yeah.
No, it's hard. Yeah. I wish I kind of had a roommate or somebody to just give me some money.
Yeah. Just half of it. I mean, it's nice having Paul now, you know, split mortgage and then he'll take out the trash and stuff. That's nice. But before that, man, I would pay double just to have some alone time. Do you feel like you need that time to yourself being on the road and stuff so much?
Yeah. Right now I'm getting bored because I'm not on the road as much, you know? And so I'm definitely getting bored, but it's also nice to be able to just get up and go walk and go to the river and do whatever, just like write.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm getting a little bored. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I want to do something.
You know? Right. Because how do you handle touring with both yourself and another band? Like, how does that go down? Like, that just seems like a lot of working parts at all times.
I feel like I really haven't gotten into the thick of it yet because I've kind of pushed back on my shows the last year or so. It's just, I don't know, it's just been like this weird thing. I feel like I'm kind of switching into this different era, but it's also the same thing. Like, I just needed time to write and kind of take a break from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I feel like I'm ready to go again. But I also was living in my hometown. Like, I hadn't left ever. So I was just kind
Which
of burnt
where,
out.
Where's that?
Rockwall.
Right.
Yeah. So I was just burnt out and just felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And so I was like, man, I just need a break.
Yeah.
And so I kind of pulled back a little bit. And then obviously, like, it was just hard for anybody to get shows for a while. And then luckily I got the gig that I did. And, you know, we've had amazing shows. And
so now, how did that go down? Did Cody Canada formally... Did him and Shannon both get on one knee and propose that you can be in The Departed and sing with Cross Canadian Ragweed? Like, what a dream. Like, that's so fun. I actually was going to listen to see if I could find... Sometimes I like to listen to other people's podcasts with a guest just so I can prepare my own questions. Mm-hmm. But I was like, if you've answered that before, I want to know for myself. Like, I don't want... it to be spoiled. So start at the beginning. Don't leave anything out.
Okay.
Or do you? You do you on this podcast.
So I didn't meet Cody until LJT in like 2023, and obviously I knew who he was. It's Cody Canada, duh. And have always been a massive fan. My mom, she was a huge Ragweed fan back in the day, and you know, I just thought that I would never get to experience Ragweed, but I loved Cody, and I felt brave that year and sent him a DM. I was like, hey, I'm gonna be there when you're gonna be there. If you need somebody to sing Sick and Tired, like, I'd love to come up. I'll be watching anyway. And he ended up messaging me back because he's the sweetest guy to ever roam the earth.
Yes.
And he was like, of course, like, would love to have you. So I met Cody as I'm walking on stage to sing the song with him. Like, the hug, it was, hey, nice to meet
you.
Thanks for having me. And then So that was already nerve-wracking. I was like, okay, cool. My mic stand, they thought I was a lot shorter than I am, which that happens, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it's to basically my belly button. And I'm like, oh, great. And I have a drink in this hand. And then I'm like cold. It's freezing this year. I have like this big coat on. I'm trying to like bundle myself up so I'm not shaking. I'm already nervous. And it won't go up.
Oh,
like,
no.
It won't move. And so I just squat the whole time. And I'm like, whatever, this is fine. And we ended up talking after the set and just became friends. We had a lot in common and talked about music. And, you know, again, just the nicest guy ever. So welcoming. And his entire crew was so welcoming. And we just became friends. I started showing up to more shows and singing Sick and Tired with him. And then he invited me to come to the Stillwater shows the first year.
Oh my gosh.
And sang Sick and Tired.
And he's been.
I know, right? Same. And he's like, you'll do it for sure the first night. And then I ended up singing with the band all four nights because I did a different song the one night that Katie sang Sick and Tired. And I was like, oh my God. Like, what do you mean? I got to do all four nights at Boone Pickens with Cross Canadian Ragweed. And then Cody that night, he was like, you know, if we keep doing these shows, we're going to need somebody to do harmonies for us full time. And I was like, what are you trying to get at right now?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the band, they were like, that pretty much means you've made it. Like, you're pretty much in it, you know? And so I just ended up going on certain runs with them and showing up to the shows. And then they were like, we want to have you for the full set. And now I'm member of Ragweed, I suppose.
That's so
like
cool.
I can't even fully say that I am because I just, you know, I'm like, I'm not. I'm just here. I'm just enjoying everything.
No, but I mean, whenever we got to Key West, we were so happy to see you up there. It's such a fun, like, mix of, I don't want to say old and new, like Cody's old, but I mean, kind
he
of.
He is 50, so.
Yeah, happy birthday, Cody Canada. But it's like that plus, I think the more that you see females in a role, the less surprising it is in a weird way. Like if you just see female crew people and you see females on stage with other, then it's not so such a thing and it's not so shocking. It's just like, yeah, there should be a mm-hmm. girl in a band. But I've talked about it so many times with even people that I love and respect that their wives are like, oh no, I would never let a girl be on the road with my whatever. I'd be like googling. It's so weird because it's like, oh no, it's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a person.
Mm-hmm. No, those are like my brothers,
right?
Like, if you knew half of what we have to deal with being on the road with the guys,
yeah.
Like you, it's mad props to us because we have to deal with them. Like they think we're the drama queens, the divas, and all that. No, it's them.
I totally agree with that. I went on the road with Wilder Blue for 7 days, and it was like I really tried to just stay out of the way and like pack light and like get ready and be out of, and it was totally fine. I felt like I was the one with the least amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's but it is really fun like being on a bus with a band. I'm sure like mm-hmm. When I was with them, I wasn't driving. I wasn't unloading.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of like passenger princessing, mm-hmm. sleeping in a bunk.
Yeah, which it is comfortable. I know yeah. some people hate it, but I personally, I eat it up.
Sleeping in a bunk, you mean?
Yeah.
I do too.
Best sleep of my life.
It's like loud and cold. These are things my RV doesn't have.
Right. Yeah, my van didn't really have all these features either. So.
It's like pretty hot in the back. I'm like, yeah. And then
I'm sweating. It's midsummer. You're like,
yeah.
I love my job.
I'm here doing it for the right reasons. Yeah. Or even I was talking with that girl, Molly, that I was telling you about. She came and she was just talking about, you know, it being hot and what do you do? And it's all hot. It's like, man, I remember changing in Green Hall the first time I played. And I had a Sprinter van that did not get cool.
Same.
Or at this point, it was probably just the white van. Did not get cool when it was idling. And then I remember trying, I couldn't even get my pants on because I was so sweaty. I'm just like crying in the yes. bathroom of Green Hall. Like, I should be so happy right now. I'm playing Green Hall, but I'm like crying in the bathroom because I can't. It's just so much harder to be a girl. The guys can just literally change in a parking lot and be fine.
So I did the same thing literally at Green Hall too.
What?
Funny experience. I had my Sprinter van and that's where we would get changed. You know, my mom and I would change in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having to like cover me with the blankets just to make sure nobody can see in. I'm sweating. I'm like, God, I can't even pull my pants up. Like, yeah. I should have worn a dress, you know? And then I'm like, wait, where am I going to do my hair? Because we had the plug in the van, but I think at the time it was broken or something. Or it would like help overheat the van.
Right.
So I had to find an outlet, and there's like that little walkway in between the general store and that little like wine beer garden.
You know, yeah, like the little alley.
Yeah, and you can like sit in there, and people sit in there all the time.
Yeah.
Open to the public. Yeah. The only plug was right there. So I plugged my hair curler in there, and I was curling my hair while everybody was walking by me, and I was like,
hi, guys.
Living the life. I play yeah. Green Hall tonight, by the way, guys.
Yeah. That's so funny, and that is actually why when I see people playing there, like I just thought about it. I think Peyton Howie's there tomorrow night. Somebody, I heard it on the radio. I'm always like, FYI, my house is right around the corner because mm-hmm. I wish I would have had just somewhere to go to change really quickly.
I keep telling people that too now.
Okay, good.
Like I told Shelby, I was like, if you need somewhere to get ready, my place is literally right around the corner.
Okay, that's really nice. Because yeah. it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then with our, now I got the RV. Well, when the generator is broken, then the plugs and the AC don't work. So sometimes I'm still like,
it's a really glamorous
life. Hi guys,
it's
me.
We live.
And, yeah. and Bucky's like changing, whatever. It's fine. I'm proud of you for doing it though, because I think there's more girls now than ever. And I think it was just really special to kind of watch like the new wave of girls come up, and y'all are so great. And not that I'm not throwing shade, I don't want to say this incorrectly, but I feel like it's like this in Nashville too. Like sometimes the girls have to be twice as good as the dudes to like,
yeah, it's
cut through.
Yeah, it's cutthroat is what it is.
Yeah.
Like it's just, yeah. No, I think, you know, now here especially, I always say this about Texas and Oklahoma, I'm like, everybody's genuinely supportive of each other. And
yeah.
it's like, we want to help lift each other up, male or female. And Cody and I talk about this all the time. And our crew, like outside of the band, it's primarily female based. Like it's all women who run the show.
Right.
And Cody will tell you himself, he's like, women get it done. They get it done right.
Yeah.
He's like, so that's why we have women. And so I think that it's very special to see all of these women come up and all of these different, like I just saw a bass player the other day. That was a woman. She was at Green Grove.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Like, yeah. Okay.
I'm like, that's hot.
Yeah.
Keep going, girl. Do your thing.
Absolutely.
How booked are you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to be my band?
You want to be my band?
Yeah. My producer's a bass player who's a woman. It's like, it is so interesting. And I asked her about that. I'm like, why isn't there more? And she's like, well, when you're young teenagers as a girl, you're forming bonds with other women. Like, that's what we do, is we kind of get community mm-hmm. over... like dudes are in their room playing guitars or whatever. Like, so you don't learn instruments as much as boys at that age, or at least that was her theory. And it seemed to make sense to me, because it's like, I would love to have more girls in my band. It's just not out there as much,
mm-hmm.
but it's cool.
I think it's starting to
yes.
finally pick up, and you're seeing more of that. And I think it's so cool when you see a girl just like shredding on guitar.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, wow, you're cooler than me, and I will never be that cool. And I love that.
I don't have the desire to shred. Like,
I wouldn't look cool doing it.
I don't.
I'd make all
you
the
would
face.
Look
no,
super
I would make
cool.
all the faces, and it would just look uncomfortable. Like, people already talk about how I look like I'm uncomfortable when I sing, so I feel like adding a shred section to that would just make it worse.
Do people tell you that? Because yes. I get that a lot too, that I make weird faces, yeah. and I just can't help it.
No, I'm like, this is just how I sing.
Yeah.
Does it sound good? Okay. Why are we? That's it.
Right.
We don't need to make the comment about the face. I can't help it.
I remember one of my publishers back when I was in Nashville, we were watching Kimberly Kelly sing. Which Kimberly Kelly is also like a speech therapist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she just is so vocally just natural and great. And anyway, I remember my publisher being like, look how relaxed she looks when she sings. And he said it like three times. I was like, are you trying to drop a hint that I heard it from a voice coach too. And when I was on, I think The Voice, but she was like, look up at, I tell Carrie, I'm like, Carrie Underwood, to look up at this because it softens your facial expressions. I'm like, everyone's always trying to get me to change my face. Like, no. I just can't help
this
it.
This is my face. I'm an expressive person. Like, yeah. I would hate, because like, I always say this, if you have Botox, go on with your bad self. Yeah. I could never, number one, because I hate needles, but number two, because I like being expressive, because I think it adds to just like your personality and stuff. If I had Botox, I'd probably still look uncomfortable, but I mean, I like the lines movement. And the movement. And yeah.
I have a song coming out about getting wrinkles and getting older and how that's okay. And we should allow women to age the way we do men. But yeah, I have a friend and she always looks at me and she goes, "You can't tell, but this is my surprised face." Cause like, she can't lift up her eyebrows. So, yeah. If I have any money for Botox, I'm like, I would just get a new, I'd go record a song.
Yeah, or
like,
seriously. Yeah.
Put it into, I drive an old truck. Like I just think that there's other things. Music, putting money into yourself is very hard when you're a musician, like yeah. in any sense of the word.
Yeah.
Clothes. It's like, man, should I be spending this on a run of merch t-shirts instead?
Mm-hmm.
It's just always a thing. But that's really interesting. And I feel like that too. I don't care if anyone has Botox. Like, good for you. I really yeah. just, I honestly am like, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I do get offended when people tell me that I need it though.
Yeah, because nobody should ever tell anybody else that, ever. That seems common sense.
It happens to me, like, a surprising amount.
That's disgusting.
I know.
That, like, angers me.
I know. Kyle's been there in the merch line. People will be like, hey.
I'd be like, oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe that's what, that's what you should start doing, is just hitting people.
Just hitting people.
Is that the solution? Have you ever
just violence?
Just the solution. You heard it here first. Only bands. The solution is violence.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a super violent human being, no. But you strike me as somebody who has, like, you have a fine line with your morals and values, and you don't strike me as, I guess I'm not, what am I trying to say? Like, you're not super people pleasing, like, you know what you want and you kind of are firm about it.
Well, that's awesome that you think that. Because I honestly, I grew up as a people pleaser.
Okay.
And then I had enough of it and I got sick of it. And I was like, okay, like I have to start doing what feels good for me and not for everybody else.
I love it.
And within my career too, it became more prominent that I was like, okay, I don't want to do what they want me to do. I want to do what makes me happy. So I've really worked on it, you know, over the years. And I think you're on the nail with that. When you kind of cross my boundary, I'm like, okay, we're not doing this anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who do you mean by they, as far as like telling you how to do things and stuff? Like, do you mean managers or you mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had, I've had almost all bad experiences with management.
Yeah.
Like I had a couple managers that I really liked, but it's hard.
Yeah. No, we have that in common.
Right.
Yes. Especially because when I started, I was 17, just about to turn 18. Like, they think that you don't know anything. Like, they think that they can just tell you all these things and that you're not going to have your opinion. Like, you're just supposed to listen to them because they've been doing it for you know, however many years.
Right.
But it's like, I have my own opinions about this, and if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And it would be, it was really just the one manager for me outside of, you know, just random people trying to tell me what to do. It's like, oh, you would sound good doing this. It's like, okay, no, like, yeah, cool. I don't want to. It doesn't feel like me, but, you know, the one was just like, I think you need to do more of this sound. And I'm like, that's so far removed from what I'm trying to do at all. I'm like, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, I think it'd be cool. I think it would sell. And I'm like, get out of my face.
Yeah, I don't care about selling.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
It is so strange because I always feel like managers start with you because they love what you're doing. And mm-hmm. then they are almost immediately like, you should do something else. Mm-hmm. And I've never understood that. It's like, wait, why are you here in the first place? Yeah. If this wasn't what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anytime I've ever given into some sort of management or help that I can't afford or isn't right for me, whatever is the reason, it's just because I get tired.
Mm-hmm.
You put out a record and you do it all yourself and you're exhausted and you're on the road all the time. And then you're like, I just need some help. And then you make a bad decision.
That's where I was too. Yeah, I was like, I just need a little help. And then yeah. I was like, not this kind of help.
No,
this
no.
is actually terrible.
Hold
this
on,
is making
wait.
It worse.
Yeah. And I always, and I'm not necessarily a super confrontational person.
Right. Neither am I. I am now that I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And again, it's that certain line.
Mm-hmm.
I will or I won't, but.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just don't like to be confrontational.
No, and it's so unnecessary because it's like, how do you confront somebody who it's like, hey, you completely took advantage of me. That's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be the first ones to be like, it's just business. No, it's not. It's my entire life and my entire career. And now what's really interesting is trying to find somebody to work with that can do things for me that I haven't already done myself. I mean, mm-hmm. like, look at everything you're getting to do. So it's like, unless somebody comes along that can get you to do cooler things than you're already doing, which is going to be really hard. And same with me.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really need you unless you're going to open doors that I can't
exactly.
open for myself.
Yeah.
What is your, do you have, did you ever have a publishing deal or are you interested in any of that kind of stuff? Or,
you know, I feel like when I first started, like that was in the forefront of my mind. I was like, I need to have a whole team behind me, you know? And
yeah.
then as I started getting a little team behind me, I was like, I don't know about all this. I don't think this is what I wanted. And then now, you know, and being independent is kind of like the thing now. Like everybody wants to be independent because everybody that's under a label seems to just absolutely hate it and is miserable. I mean, not everybody, but
right.
a lot of people. And so I've kind of just leaned more into the independent thing of it. I mean, I would like, you know, somebody to book the shows. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it's booking agent. Yes, totally. Yeah,
that'd be real nice.
That would be nice. I have a good one. We need to talk to him because he's really good.
Okay, cool. No, that'd be great.
He's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, that to me is the only thing that I would like somebody else to do for me. I feel like right now I can handle everything else.
Totally.
And I want it to be that way for a while until I'm just absolutely like, okay, I can't.
Right.
I can't handle this. There's too much going on.
Yeah, I had an amazing PR team for years and years, and they were all women, and they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently taking a tiny break because I'm trying to buy a new truck.
Yes,
because I drive a 20-year-old truck, and every day I'm like, I'm dying without you. Like I love them so much, but mm-hmm. they were so beyond the scope of just PR. I mean, they did so much for me and negotiated my sponsorships, just kind of all the things that management couldn't necessarily do for me. So that's not really their job, but they ended up kind of stepping into mm-hmm. that role. So I got really lucky with them and they're amazing. They're Richland Group. They shouldn't be doing that for everybody. But anyway, they're incredible. But now that I, you know, I'm trying to build, okay, I need somebody to, you know, run my social media ads. Mm-hmm. I can't be the person that knows how to run social media ads. Like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I tried and it's super hard. And mm-hmm. I think people expect, you know, there's so many beautiful things about being independent, but you can't be an expert on everything.
Right.
And how do you find, you know, those specific people? I have Kyle. He does a lot of stuff for me.
Good job, Kyle.
Kyle. He's like, I don't want to do any of this stuff for you. I was listening to your music this morning too, and it all sounds so good. And I was just kind of curious, like, I didn't even know where you recorded all of that stuff. Was it all different? Like, all the singles are basically in the same place, or?
So I, like, my first handful of singles that I dropped were recorded with my old drummer named Tyler Thompson. He, my first song, Patsy Cline and I, that was the first song he ever produced. He, like, made it seem like he was some, like, producer and has done tons of songs. We get in there and he's like, yeah, this is the first one I've ever done. I was like, okay, great. It ended up working out beautifully.
Yeah, and, did a great job.
It was a special moment to just, like, share that with each other, both being our first. And I got to see him the other day at Green, and it was just, I was like, I miss you. Aww. But I did most of my stuff there to start, and then once he got busy and wasn't really producing anymore, I went to Nashville.
Right.
And I did it at Amber Sound with Ryan Eumanns.
Cool. Well, they sound so good.
Thank you.
Your voice is just, like, one of the best, coolest voices. You. So easy to listen to. And do you write by yourself mostly, or are you?
Yeah, mostly. I do co-write, for sure. Like, I want to get into that more, especially moving down here. There's so many talented songwriters down here. So many.
We all threaten to write, we never do it.
I know.
We need to get...
I keep talking about, again, with Cody, like, we talk about writing, and, you know, they want to do a new record and stuff for Ragweed, and so we try to get in this writing headspace, and it's hard because everybody's busy, and it's also just like, when we're home, we want to be home and not really get back into it. But I was like, listen, I feel like there used to be all these little, like, groups of songwriters that would always write, or, like, always do shows together. And, like, everybody was so involved together in music. I was like, we need to bring that back. Like, we just need to do, like, songwriter nights, or, like, songwriter group chats, or, like, just bring it back. And everybody just fall in love with writing again.
I love that idea, because do you do any songwriting groups and stuff? I did one for a long time.
I had one a few years ago, and it was awesome.
Okay, well, if you want to bring it back, I need to bring it back, because I will go, like, 3 months without writing a song. It's because I don't have my accountability group.
Yeah.
And my producer, when she started it, or introduced me to it, I did one a week. Mm-hmm. One song a week for, like, years. Mm-hmm.
It's pressure too, because, I mean, the other artists in there can listen to your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you want to make it good, because you don't want to be like, I can't write a song. But I think it also too, for, like, younger artists trying to come up in the scene, those songwriter group chats are, like, really special to be a part of, because you get to meet people really quickly, and also just get to, like, learn from other people that have been doing it for a while. That's what happened to me. I was in a group chat with, you know, Wade Bowen, like, Caitlin Butts, Jacob Stelly. It was just like it was a great group chat, and I was so grateful to be a part of it, because I did learn a lot from it.
Yeah, totally.
I think we need to bring it back.
We should bring it back. Stelly was in our, because my producer produced his record too. He was in our songwriting group for a while. He was writing some incredible stuff. And I know, I remember every time I would go turn in a song, you end up trying really hard, because it was my first one. It was Brian Keene, Rachel Loy, Charlie Worsham, Bob Schneider. Like, just these incredible songwriters where you're, okay, you can't just, you know, half-ass it and turn it in. I got to really be good. And so I did head up my own for a while. For a couple of years, I had my own, and it was really fun. But it was a lot of work, because I feel like I had to make sure I was listening to everybody's songs and giving everyone feedback. So, you know, that's 30, 45 minutes worth of listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to be too much. But I'm slowing down a little bit for summer. Maybe I could do that again. Would you be in my songwriting group, or do you want to be the head of it, or you want me? I don't know. I'll be in your songwriting group. I don't know.
I think we need to bring it back. I think it's gonna happen.
Kyle, let's go. Are you in? Okay, we got three people.
Perfect. It's gonna be a hit. Everybody's gonna love this idea.
I know. Are you recording anymore right now, or
I'm about to get back into it?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's been like a year since I've released anything, and that stresses me out.
What was the last one? Was it? Because
I think it was Didn't Want Me.
Yeah.
Maybe it hasn't been a year, but I think it's
Was that the
close.
One on piano?
Yes.
That's the most recent one.
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like,
thank you.
Did you write that by yourself too? Mm-hmm. You have such a way of, like, I love a song that sounds like it was easy to write, but, like, those are the hardest ones to write.
Mm-hmm.
But you just made it sound really, like, the writing just sounds effortless, and it's beautiful.
Thank you. Oh,
and that's
you.
Like, we've all felt that But putting that into a song is a lot harder than people think.
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous song.
Sometimes it's easier to not write about myself and somebody else.
So yeah. That's was that about somebody else?
Yeah. That one came from just like watching other people that I've seen not have that relationship with like their fathers or like a specific parent, and just relationships in general. I mean, I guess part of it did come from me, just, you know, the not being wanted part, but for the majority of the song, it was written from another perspective of somebody else.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that makes so much sense. And I know sometimes we have to write about other people's lives. Like, my love life isn't really tumultuous right now, so I got
to... You're in a happy, healthy relationship, you know?
Yeah. It's not as much, can you go be a
You're not like me, person? Who has to keep going on these dates that I'm like, I don't want to be here.
Apparently the dating scene right now is insane. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm not like going on dates all the time. Right. I don't really care to do that. But like the ones I have been on, it's interesting.
Yeah, one of my friends was on a date and then decided, like, found out his name wasn't his real name and because saw his ID and then Googled his real name and he was like a felon.
That happened to me.
What?
That happened to me.
Is this the same guy?
Maybe.
How is this happening though?
I like looked up because like I saw his profile and I was like, you know, this guy's cute, but like something seems off about this guy. Like he said he was like 29. I was like, I don't know for 29. You look a little older than that. And I'm crazy, but I also grew up in the generation of technology, so I know how to find people.
Yeah.
With little information, you know what I mean?
I do not know how to do that. That's
well,
your generation.
If you ever need somebody.
Okay, good. Good. My little detective.
Yeah. So I ended up somehow. Oh, I think because I got his number and I know how to like trace the number back to like who it belongs to. A really good thing to have, by the way.
Okay, that's amazing.
Because I like to check and make sure these people are who they say they are before I meet up with them.
Yeah.
And they kill me. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to end up on one of your podcast episodes.
That's right.
So I look him up. Not he's like 35. And also, like, you look up his name, his mugshot comes up, and I'm like, what did we do? He flashed somebody in like a restaurant. And I was like, I am not going out with this guy. We're good.
So why lie about being 35? Just be 35. That's fine.
That makes it creepier.
Yeah, it makes it creepier.
Yeah.
29 forever, baby.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, no. I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. I ended up not going out with him, obviously. Okay, I was like, we're good.
Yeah.
Blocked.
And you feel like, you know, all my girlfriends, it feels like there's this shift of... Nobody is like needing a man. They're like,
I don't.
It's
I'd like one for certain things.
Right.
But I don't need one.
Right.
I'm independent. I grew up an only child. Like I got this.
Right. You did grow up an only child? No. Mm-hmm. And your parents have always been supportive of your music stuff. That was what Michael Mode said. He knows everything about your parents.
Yeah. this is all I've ever wanted to do. Like, there's no other option for me.
Love it.
So they've always just been supportive. My parents love music. My dad's a huge music nerd. He's like a human Shazam box.
Oh my gosh.
And then my mom also, she loves music too. So it's just, it's easy for them to be very supportive of this. They're like, yes, do
it. Yeah. My parents have been too. And it's weird when you meet other people who didn't have supportive parents. I feel like that's so unfair because
they're not at their show, like their biggest shows. And you're like, what do you mean?
What do you mean they want you to get a real job?
God, this is the real job.
This is the realest. You go on the road for a week and tell me it's not a real job.
Like, you see the nice moments.
Yeah.
I promise it gets worse.
It gets really, really hard at all times. So that makes me happy that they're supportive and you've always just known you wanted to. I mean, I just think about, so I didn't get the, Kyle, edit that out. Just kidding. Don't. It's fine. It's when my brain trips over itself. It happens quite frequently. I did go to college and got a business degree and I didn't even pick up a guitar till I was 18. So I think I grew up in this weird time frame where I still kind of felt like I had to get a degree because it was maybe a backup plan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel less and less like that's
the train is coming.
It's coming. The train. Gracie, here's the train coming. But I feel like it's less and less like that. Like, it's totally cool to just go right into music and not have a backup plan. This is a perfect time for me to snack.
Yeah, it is. I hear it rolling in right now.
It really is. It's so loud, too. You need one hand to cover your... Because it gets real squeaky.
Yeah, especially if he wants to do a little toot-toot.
I know. They're not allowed to toot their horn here.
Oh, they tooted it at us yesterday.
They did?
Oh, well, they were also doing that. I wasn't. I don't care.
They're not allowed to at night, maybe.
I was laying there the other day tanning by myself, and the train conductor like looked out of the window at me, and I was like,
wait, what?
Real story.
Guys, well, now that me and Gracie York are 105 years old, that was the longest train.
That was pretty good.
Super sorry about that. I didn't remember what we were talking about.
That's one of those that you're sitting in your car and you're like, oh my God, I'm late already.
I know. I could have put my whole face of makeup on. Do you do your makeup while the bus is rolling? Or do you have to be...
No. No, we get there like the day before.
Oh, you have a driver. You don't have to. That's a dumb question.
I will say, I keep talking about this to a few people. I'm going to have such a tough time now going back to my career and going back to van life or truck life. Right. Having to drive all
having
of
to
it.
Drive.
No green rooms, no
catering.
No catering, no golf carts to take you to and fro.
Or just, you know, 100,000 screaming fans is really fun.
Oh, there's nobody here tonight. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, man. I have to sell my own tickets? Like, I think that's what's really fun about watching you do that too, is because, I mean, we started this weekend, for example, we have a co-headline with the Motor Cars for two nights. We're starting to do more stuff like that because selling tickets, you know, 100 times a year for 15, it gets just so heavy. And so we have like a cover band that's just for fun. We play like once a year, and it's so fun because you're not thinking about if people are going to show up or like you or the stress of the road or like. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is you get to have the most fun and let some of that pressure melt away for a minute, which is probably really therapeutic.
It is. Yeah. Good. For sure.
You deserve that.
I just like to walk up and set my tambourine up there, and then I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And everybody's like still getting all their stuff together, and I'm like,
that's your load in. Yeah. Yeah, that's your load in.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't even think about that.
And my load in is literally I walk up, get my pack on.
Yeah.
My tambourine, it's either up there or I take it up there.
Yeah.
And that's it. I just wait on everybody.
Okay, this is perfect.
I'm going to try to, we've talked about adding like acoustic for me for some songs.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be fun, but yeah.
Way too much work.
Very easy. Yeah. Right now it's very easy.
Oh, yeah. You could totally play like rhythm acoustic. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
There's such a market for that. I know I had a friend that played for Lori Morgan that plays, I think they're related, but she played acoustic guitar and sang harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I think I want to go play acoustic guitar and sing harmonies for somebody for a little while. Like, that just seems like so much fun.
It is fun. Because you really, like, you know, I feel like there's still pressure to perform, obviously. I think there always is. But I definitely feel a good amount of weight lifted off my shoulders not being the front woman. I love being the front woman.
Yeah.
Obviously, I like to have the attention on me a little bit.
Amen, baby.
But I do think that it's nice to not have to be like,
yeah,
you know, this is all about me.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not.
Just show up on time and do a great job and get paid. Like, that's so nice. Have you always been able to sing harmonies, or did you sing in church, or did you just...
I just picked them up. Like, I love harmonies. When I would listen to songs as a kid, like, I remember focusing in on harmonies and being like, that's so cool that somebody can, like, layer on top of, you know, another voice. And, you know, I just listened to country and all the really, like, classic country harmonies that are so amazing. And I just picked up from that, and then just listening to other people do it. Or I just love harmonies. And I was in choir. I was in choir in high school for, like, a year. So
that
kind of helped a little bit.
Did you play sports?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
Not athletic.
I didn't. Because you're like 6 feet tall.
I'm 5'9".
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm 5'9".
Me too. We're the same height.
Yeah.
Just because I couldn't do choir and sports, so I had to choose.
Yeah, I did choir for the first year. I decided I did not like choir. It's just not for me. It's not my... you know, you're also learning a totally different language at the same time. It's like a lot of mental work there. It's like, oh, we're singing in French. Awesome. I don't know French. That's awesome.
Right. Oh, that... totally.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And you have to sing your certain part. If you're like an alto, a tenor, a soprano, whatever. So like you're singing in like the same... I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Yeah. Which is totally fine.
And then I did piano for the next 3 years.
That was an option?
Yeah, which was really cool because that was the
in
only
high school?
Other that was the only other option.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wish they would have had. Yeah, they didn't have that for us,
And then now it seems like you can do everything. Like, they encourage you to do more than one thing. Like, we had to choose.
I had to choose too.
Huh.
It's like your path.
Yeah. Did you go to college? Did you do? Yeah, girl.
I was straight into music.
Good.
Yeah.
Because why? Well, do you need algebra or calculus ever in your whole life?
No.
Yeah, that's so smart. And use that money to just, like, go into making music is really smart.
Well, I told my parents, I was like, listen, because it was literally, like, on the brink of me graduating high school. And they were like, you're still going to go to college. And I was like, I'm going to waste your money. I'm not going to graduate from college. I'm telling you this right now. I will not be graduating from college. So I want to do music, and that's what I'm going to do. And they're like, well, if you're going to do music, you have to prove to us that you can actually get booked and that you can handle this. And so then I literally instantly was like, okay, fine. And I hit the ground running, and I started recording my songs and playing shows, and they were like,
okay,
we're good. Like, you don't have to go to college.
Yeah. That's so smart, because it's like, this is a waste of your money.
Yeah.
That's...
I was like, I'd rather this money go and help me start up a career. And
yeah.
Like, because they helped me with my first Vans, and, you know, obviously I was a kid and I was still trying to figure everything out. And so they were more than happy to help me out with some of that stuff. But
yeah, my parents helped me out a lot too. I mean, it's just kind of, and I was a little bit older than you even, but it's kind of impossible at the, you know, when to start music, you need hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment and recording and promotion and a van. We traveled in my parents' Yukon XL for the first 2 years of being a band and pulled a single axle trailer.
Mm-hmm. We didn't even have a trailer. We shoved everything in the van.
Super smart.
Yeah.
I think not having a trailer is really smart. We did that wrong. We kind of had like...
The trailer is a lot of more anxiety on top of everything already.
I know, and I was just talking to Mode about their trailer just detaching from the bus and flipping over and stuff, and I just bought a new trailer.
Horrifying.
And I keep thinking, okay, who's going to be the first person to put a dent in this brand new trailer? Like, it better be me.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, it better not be me.
Yeah.
It better be nobody. But it happens.
Yeah.
But that's so smart to just do a van, and you don't have to have a trailer. I think that's a misconception.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a humongous band, I would see why you might need a trailer, but at the time it was just a 4-piece. Like, the most we ever got was 5, but at that point, like, the biggest stuff is the drums.
Right. And if you're not traveling with your own sound engineer, you don't really need your own console and stuff. We have it all.
I had it all too, and I quickly realized, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Most of these places have it.
Why?
The ones that don't, I'm like, why do you have live music here? If you want me to bring all my stuff, the sound guy, I'm like, can we not do that? Can we hire somebody to do
that? That's so smart. Yeah, if you want to have live music here, like, you need to provide the...
Because you're already not paying me
right
enough to be here.
Oh, my gosh.
For this 3-hour set, you want me to set up everything and for $100?
I don't... There's really almost nobody I would want to hear sing for 3 hours, like, especially not myself. I'm like, why are we doing... Who created the 3-hour thing?
At that point, you're getting me to talk more. Because I'm trying to fill in just like the time.
Yes.
The time between songs.
I know.
I'm just talking at this point.
We had to do one the other day for 2 hours, and the band was like, and I'm like, I'm going to have to talk. Well, it was a private party where everyone was just kind of at a picnic. No one was really paying attention. So then it's more awkward when you talk because you're just talking by yourself. And I was just like, well, this one when I was 5. Like, I don't know. I just felt so stupid. But I get so mad about the 3-hour things. Like, somebody made that standard and everyone kind of just went along with it. But it used to be 4 hours.
I've done a 4-hour.
I've done a 4-hour too. We used to do 4 hours. Just no thank you.
It's horrible.
Your fingers, your voice.
It's the fingers and if you're sitting down, so you're like, okay, I've had enough of this.
Had enough sitting, had enough standing.
And also, for me at least, at a point, I've done all the fun, spunky, upbeat songs. It's just depression from here on out. Like, the next 2 hours, we're just sad.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not built for this.
I remember one of my first gigs that I played every Monday, and then I played every Monday and Friday at the same place. And the guy, I played for 2 hours, and the guy... He's like, had a meeting with me. He said, the regulars, you know, they really want you to mix up the songs. It's like, I'm playing 2 hours twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 60 songs. Like, I can't mix it up that much. Like, what?
What do you want,
Bernie? It's like me going into a bar and saying, hey, you need to mix up your happy hour menu. Or what do I know about food and beverage? But for some reason, like, the people that love to talk about music, anyway, everyone's an expert. And if you're going to be an expert on 3-hour gigs, try playing for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Also, when there's nobody there, it makes it even better. It's like, oh, great. I have to sit up here for 3 hours just for myself.
Have you seen those videos? You posted one of them. It's like, some of you have never played 3 hour shows for nobody, and it shows. It does build like
it builds
character and resilience and the ability to pivot, or the, you know, just making it through builds grit, mm-hmm, or something.
Makes you more grateful for sure.
Yeah.
When the shows do end up turning out really good.
Totally.
You're like, okay.
Yes.
It's worth it.
So what's next for you? Oh, by the way, I love Marble Magic so much.
Thank you.
It was so good. And then I had another thing. You love whiskey more than you love me. What's that,
oh,
that line in,
yeah,
your song,
yeah,
or something? And I was like, that's how everybody feels about me. Like, everybody loves my dog more than me, and you wrote the theme song to my life. You love whiskey more than you love me.
That's that one, like, was a co-write with Colby Cooper several years ago. And honestly, like, now that song, I feel like I probably, there's a 99% chance, because I'm not going to say never, that I will never play that song again. Just because at the time it felt like me, but now that I look back, I'm like, it doesn't feel like me. Like, I couldn't go out there and sell that song. You know what I mean? Like, I wrote it because it was a fun co-write at the time, and we had a great time writing it. Colby's so nice.
But so nice.
I'm just like, song's not me anymore.
Yeah, you know? I feel that way about a lot of songs. I've outgrown them, or mm-hmm, I don't want to play them live. And
yeah.
Of course, the one song I just really don't want to play live is the only song that gets requested every single night. Like, I don't even sound like that anymore.
Yeah.
I sang with an accent. Like, I don't even have an accent. And I was like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't know what happened, like, in that recording. And anyway, and I think it's fine to outgrow your,
yeah, absolutely,
content.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I think, you know, I was 17, 18 when I was recording most of these songs. Like, I'm going to change.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a different person. And I think that that's growth. And I,
yeah,
think it's just becoming an adult and...
And growing into who you are as an artist, like, mm-hmm, I didn't know exactly when I started who I was going to be and what my message was going to be and stuff.
No.
You feel like you have really settled into who you are as a person and an artist and a performer. And that's lucky, because you're young, still, to me, like, super young. You know, I think it took me a long time to kind of figure out exactly what I was trying to say. And I was focused so much on, you know, being, we were playing 12 to 15 full band shows a month.
Ooh.
I know. I'm amazed that I'm alive. But it was, back then, it was more just trying to find the best live show,
mm-hmm,
because that's how I was making money.
Right.
So it was never like, what do I want to say and who do I want to be? It was more like surviving and then making sure everyone had a great time, from my band to the audience, that,
mm-hmm,
I was not focused on, like... Anyway, I think all that is to say, when you're like, I'm getting to step back and kind of look, I think that that's so nice and so important, you know, because then you get to figure out what you actually want to do and where you actually want to go.
Yeah, and that's what I think this period of my life has been in the past, you know, last 2 years, really, is just kind of stepping back a bit and being like, okay, that was that, and that was a great time. Like, so many doors opened for me in such a short amount of time, and it was a lot. Really quickly, but then, you know, taking that step back and kind of zoning out and being like, okay, I know what I'm capable of. I know what I want to do. I just need to do it. And I think for a long time I was very fearful of, like, changing it up and, like, not doing what I was doing. But I think now I'm just kind of like, you know, either like it or you don't. You're either here for it or you're not. I'm going to make it either way. I'm going to make this music. So yeah, I'm going to start recording soon and get back into the swing of it, hopefully. I miss it so much.
Yeah. Well, I'm here for it. We got to play a show at Kane's Ballroom together,
yes,
in Tulsa. And
the most magical place.
It was so magical.
Yeah.
I'd never played there before.
Which is crazy to me. Mind blown.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I, like, hope to be back. And then my first show, like, song swapping with you, and I just thought you were so good and natural and great guitar player and great singer, great songwriter, all the things.
Great guitar player, thank you.
Yeah, girl.
Thank you. See, that compliment means more to me than, like, the singing. Isn't that funny? It's like, wait, you think I'm a good guitar player?
I do think you're a good guitar player.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Well, you are. I wouldn't say that if you weren't. But it is, I think I focused so much on that because when I started, people were like, girls can't play guitar good, so you got to make sure you can play guitar like a dude, which is not how I play guitar. I play guitar like I whatever, you know what I mean. But I just was so self-conscious of my guitar playing.
Right.
Like I have to make sure I don't suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because every time someone would say, you know, she plays guitar like a girl, then it would get really in my head. But I think you are a good guitar player, but I think it's for some reason more important for us to have to be that too.
Mm-hmm.
On top of everything,
right.
Make sure you didn't curl your hair in the alley.
Yeah.
And then be a good guitar player.
And then go shred.
And then shred. Yeah. What? And then date people that are lying about their age.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But I'm so proud of you. If you want to tell anybody about anything coming up next or what to just follow along on social media is probably the best way.
Yeah. I think up next I have Galley Winter, actually.
That's right. River Jam.
Yeah. So I'm going to go do River Jam on, I believe it's the 12th. Sunday, so.
Of July or June?
July.
Okay, so this might be out by then. Great.
And then a couple days later, we play Red Rocks. I'm literally going to throw up.
Listen. Is that the 24th?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna puke.
And the reason I know that is because my tour manager, she's going. And she was like, I hate to ask. I was like, go. Are you kidding me? You absolutely have to go. Like, you're person's playing Red Rocks like that. That's one of the ones that I've never gotten to do. Whiskey's getting to fly. That I cannot even wait for those pictures. You deserve that though.
Thank you. You're incredible.
You're gonna look so pretty in those Red Rocks.
Hopefully I can breathe. I've been working on my cardio.
Oh right. Altitude differences. Well, it's like Steamboat. You did Steamboat just fine.
Steamboat killed me.
It's hard to sing in that altitude. Yeah. People don't realize.
No.
And then it's so dry.
Yeah. No, I was down bad. I was down so bad this last time I was there. Like, I was dying.
I didn't know that.
My set, like, Dung Beetle? Yeah. I was like, guys, I'm really sorry if I sound like a man, but I'm dying. Yeah, it's really bad.
Huh.
Well, but I'm working on my cardio. All is well.
All is well. Well, Steamboat, it's just hard, but I saw you once at Steamboat and you're awesome.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Maybe I just... No, I think you were just fine. Yeah, no worries.
Just in my head.
Which we do.
Yeah.
Gracie York, everybody, and there's a Y in there.
Yes, there is.
So
GRAYCIE.
Get in that social media, follow along, and then of course you can see her now with Cross Canadian Ragweed. Oh my gosh. With Departed with herself. And now she is in my town, so she's going to be hanging out with me a lot.
Yes,
more.
In our songwriter group chat.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having
me. You're so beautiful.
So are you.
I don't want to make it about her being beautiful, but she is really hot. Okay, bye. Don't ask about him. No, I don't bring him up. Never really talk about that sort of stuff. He didn't want me, so why should I?
Like that, if I was him.